glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
I want to talk to you about words and faith. But I want us to understand that the words are powerful. Spoken words are the things that change the world. Now, I made a statement in one of my books that words are the most powerful thing in the universe. And then someone, you know, wrote another book and they said, well, you know, Brother Capps believes that words is greater than God. No, I just don't call God a thing. You see, when I said words are the most powerful thing, I don't classify God as a thing. And you see, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the 14th verse says. So God's Word is what we're talking about. God's Word is the most powerful thing in the universe today. It's more powerful than the atomic bomb. It is more life-changing than all that you could, anything else that you can invent. God's Word is the supreme authority. Without it, there was not anything made that was made. Everything that you see in the natural realm was created by faith-filled words. Words created it. Words brought it into existence. God stood there in the beginning. In Genesis, the first chapter, you find in verse 2, it says, the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God looked out over that, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the darkness and over the water. Water covered the earth. And God said, light be. And light was. Now you notice there was nothing like that when He said it. It was dark out there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the water. But there was no change made until God said something. God spoke words. Faith filled words. And it changed the landscape. It changed the light into darkness into light. Now, as you look at that, you realize that God calls things that are not as though they were. See, He saw darkness, but He said light. And so many people, bless their darling confused hearts today, they get the idea that you have to say it like it is. Well, now, you just can't say it any other way. You just have to say it like it is. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just being honest. But sometimes, you see, we don't realize it, but we're being ignorant of what God's Word says. See, we are to call things that are not as though they were the way God did. Use His Word and our words to change the circumstances that we face in life. Now, what would have happened if God had stood there and looked at that darkness and said, whoo, it's dark out there. I don't believe it'll ever get light. Well, I'm just telling the truth. That's the way it is. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Then we'd have been in trouble, wouldn't we? No, God saw the darkness, but He said light. Why? Because He spoke the thing desired. The thing that He desired is what He spoke. Now, God used His words as containers to transport His faith out there into the vast darkness and the nothingness and cause light to come into being. You see, over in Hebrews 11th chapter, it says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See, God didn't make the earth out of nothing. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, God created the earth out of nothing. No, He created that out of something. God's faith is something. It's not nothing. God spoke it into existence. You have only but to read the first chapter of Genesis, and you'll find I believe it's 10 times in chapter 1, it says, "And God said, and God said." Now, you know, I got to looking at that one day, and I thought, well, I wonder why it was written that way. Why didn't it say, "And God said," and just list all the things that God said? But I believe he's trying to get over to us what caused creation. And I know then, when we get over into Hebrews, that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out to us, that faith was the thing that caused it. Faith is a spiritual force. It is a power force that is capable of changing every situation. The Apostle Paul says, "Wherewith taking the shield of faith, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Not part of them, not 60% of them, but all of them. So faith is important. Faith is important for many reasons. For one thing, you can't be saved without it. You must believe. You must have faith in God's Word. Without it, you can't be born again. Without it, you can't live the life, a Christian life, because the just shall live by faith. It takes faith to do that. And this faith is readily available to us, but it's stored in God's Word. The Apostle Paul, you remember, said, "So then faith cometh by hearing the Word of God." So let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and let's read three verses here. Where Paul says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things. Now you might ask yourself the question, what things is faith the substance of? Things hoped for, but let's get more specific about that. It is the substance of things that God has promised us, are given to us. See, now that's what we're talking about. Sometimes people get the idea there's always somebody that's afraid you're going to take your faith and bankrupt heaven or bankrupt God. That's a major part of the criticism of the faith message, is that all these people, they're that name it and claim it bunch. Well, what do you think about that name it and claim it? Somebody asked me. I said, well, God named it and I claimed it. Now, I know what they mean. They mean that people just go around claiming everything. But see, what we're talking about is claiming what God has given us. Lay claim to it. Lay hold on it. And that's been a major problem in the church world, is that we have not been willing to lay claim to what God has already given us. And His Word lays it out very clear. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "God hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." He's given us what? All things that pertains to life and godliness. If it has to do with life and godliness, God's already given it to us. It belongs to us. But now it's not going to just fall on you like ripe apples off the tree. Just because God said that in His Word. We have to believe it. See, it takes faith to believe what God said. I mean, when you're facing a deficit, you know, and the bills are piling up, and you read it says, "And God said, He'll supply your need according to His riches in glory. And that if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully." You've got to make a decision. Are you going to believe what God said, or are you going to believe what circumstances dictate to you? See, circumstances sometimes dictate what we believe instead of the Word of God. You take, for instance, the children of Israel. Now, God had given them the promised land. He said, "It belongs to you. Go in and possess it. I've delivered it into your hands." And they said, "We be not able." Why, you didn't. You know, there's giants over there. We can't do that. Why, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. So were we in our own eyes. See, they had grasshopper vision. So many times, Christians don't realize that God has given us the promised land. See, it belonged to them. It was theirs. As far as God's concerned, it was theirs. But they had to possess it. They had to enter into it. Now, here's the thing I want you to see, that the promised land, the land of Canaan, was not a type of heaven. Couldn't be, because, you see, there were wars to be fought. They had to possess the land. They had to take the land. Canaan land is a promised land. It is a type of our inheritance in this life. Things that we can enter into on this earth, not when we get to heaven, but while we're here. On this earth. So you see, God hath given unto us, as He gave to the children of Israel, He gave to us the promised land. And the promised land that He has given us is right here. It's in the promises of the Word of God. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. What is God's divine power? It's His Word. Whereby, through the exceeding great and precious promises, He hath given unto us all things. See, it's through the promises of God. So God's Word has spelled out what He has given to us, what belongs to us, what we can enter into in this life, and if we are to ever enter into it, we must believe it and act on it and possess the promised land, the things that God promised. But it won't happen just because it's in the Bible. We must possess it.
God bless you. I do appreciate you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. I trust you've been blessed by the broadcast. Now, our offer this week is book offer number 7502, 7502. It's called The Tongue, A Creative Force, 160-page paperback that deals with the power of words. It deals with the power of the spoken word and how it can change your life for the better or it can change your life for the worse, depending on how you use words. Now, this offer, is offer 7502, The Tongue Creative Force, for $7 plus $3 postage and handling. And I know this book will be a blessing to you. The first chapter is entitled Words. God's Word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue, spoken out of your own mouth, becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. Now, so many people don't understand that when you speak God's Word after Him, it has power in it. And you release the ability of God, you release the angels when you begin to proclaim what God said. I don't have time to preach it here, I'd like to, but these are some of the chapter titles. First chapter is entitled Words. It talks about words and how that we use words wrongly sometimes and get us in a heap of trouble. In other words, the laws that govern electricity, if you violate those laws, it may kill you. Now, it'll cook your food, it'll be a blessing to you if you deal with it properly, but if you violate the laws of electricity, it may kill you. And words spoken, if we just let our mouth talk all kinds of talk, it can do you in. That's offer number 7502, 160-page paperback, entitled The Tongue, A Creative Force. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. Glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Well, let's back up to the third chapter, Hebrews 3, the verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They knew what God said. They knew that God had said that it belongs to you, but they wouldn't mix any faith with what God said. Then we come into the fourth chapter. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, they wouldn't mix any faith with what God said. God said it was theirs, but they wouldn't mix faith with it. They mixed faith with the devil's words. The devil said, did you see how big those giants were? Why, you can't enter into that. Why, those giants are three times as tall as you are. Like what Caleb and Joshua said. Let us go in at once. We are well able. Now, what was the difference in the attitude of the 10 spies and the 2 spies? The 10 spies observed circumstances above the Word of God. And they said, we be not able. They began to listen to the devil. They began to quote what the devil said. And faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And they quoted the devil until they believed everything the devil said. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to go. Let us go in at once. And all the doubters kept them out of the promised land for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all the doubters died. But I want you to know something. Joshua and Caleb held fast to their confession for 40 years. Now, brother, you talk about holding fast to a confession. 40 years. See, Caleb was, what was he? He was 45 years old when he went out and spied out the land. And he saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Some of those people were 14 foot tall. They had a bed that was 18 foot long. The king of Og, I believe it was, his bed was 18 feet long. Now, you wouldn't call him shorty, would you? And Caleb said, when they finally entered into the promised land, you see, after all the doubters died, Caleb said, give me the mountain with the giants on it. He's 85 years old. He said, I'll go in and take the mountain. And he did. 85 years old. Well, that shows you what the power of confession can do in 40 years. He held fast to it. And some of you held fast to your confession for 3 days and didn't give it up. You really hung in there, didn't you? Confessing God's Word or what God said builds spiritual power in your spirit. Words do several things. Words will transmit faith, and words will transmit fear, depending on what you're saying. It's a transmitter. It'll transmit faith. It'll transmit fear. If you're speaking faith, I can stand up here and speak faith about our economy and what I believe, and you'd go out of here feeling like, boy, things are going to be better. If I get up here and tell you we're all going down the tube and nothing's going to work, and you'll go out of here feeling like we're all going down the tube. You transmit a spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 13th verse, he said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believe and therefore speak. He said, I also believe and therefore speak. Now, he was quoting an Old Testament scripture. He was quoting David, where David said, we believe and speak, or I believe and speak. And Paul said, we also believe and therefore speak. See, whether you realize it or not, the things that you believe, you always speak. You always speak what you believe, and what you speak, you will believe stronger. Because faith comes by hearing. Now, you may say some things that you really don't believe when you say it. But if you say it long enough, you'll go to believing it. Psychologists will tell you if a man tells a lie long enough, he'll go to believing it. Well, suppose we told the truth that we got to believe in it. See, I mean, he'd tell it for the truth. I mean, he's told it so long, he believes it really happened. You could put him on the lie detector. What happened? It got into his spirit. His tongue deceived his heart. Now, listen to something that James said in the first chapter, and I think it's verse 26. He said, if any man seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. That man's religion is in vain. In other words, your tongue can deceive the heart. What the Bible calls the heart, or the spirit, see, into believing that what you said is what you desire. Now, it's important that we understand that, because we transmit to our spirit, to our heart, what we speak. Now, Paul put it this way in Romans, the 10th chapter. He said, "The righteousness which is of faith says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." Notice it's first in your mouth, and then it gets in your heart. He says, that is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, he called the word of God the word of faith. Now, the reason he calls it the word of faith, because God's word is filled with faith. Faith is a spiritual force. It is the divine energy of God. It is the divine energy that God has released in his word. And it never loses its power. Just as strong as it was when he said it. Just as powerful as it was when he said it. It does not lose its, you know, it doesn't leak out with age. God's word is filled with faith. So right in that same chapter, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now let's be careful that we don't take that and make the truth out of it, when it's just a truth. You see, if I were to say to you, "Now the only way that you could ever get any faith is by hearing the word of God," well, that'd be wrong. Because you could have faith in the weatherman by hearing what the weatherman said. You can gain faith in your automobile that if it starts every time, you know, you have faith that it'll start. Now, that's natural faith. But you see, faith comes by experience sometimes in some of these other things. But faith in God comes by hearing what God said. You understand what I'm saying and the difference there? So the 17th verse there is a truth and not the truth, whole truth, in other words. So then, faith in God comes by hearing the Word of God. The truth is that faith cometh by hearing. Whether you're hearing God or whether you're hearing the devil, faith cometh. It's getting quiet in here. I know you're thinking. You need to think about this. If faith comes by hearing and you continue to hear the devil, then faith cometh in the devil. Well, you're not going to be able to make your house payment this year. Look at the circumstances. The devil will always draw you to the circumstances. He'll never draw you back to the Word of God, what it said. He'll draw you back to what he said. "Well, I told you so." And the more you listen and quote the devil, the more faith you'll have in him to hinder you and keep you from what God has promised. So then, you see, if faith in God comes by hearing the word of God, the opposite end of that is that faith in the devil comes by hearing the words of the devil. And so many times people, because they misunderstand, they say, "Well now, Brother Capps, you're just trying to act like God. You're saying all the things that God said, and you're just trying to force God into something. You're just acting like God, saying what God said." I said, "Okay, let's analyze this a minute. If I'm acting like God, saying what God said about me, then who are you acting like when you say what the devil said about you?" And it gets quiet. But you see, there are many Christians saying what the devil said about them. I'm amazed at the people that say to me, "You know, the devil said to me. Oh, the devil told me this." I said, "Well, rejoice." "Well, why?" "Because the devil's a liar, and he's the father of it." The devil is a liar. Then they say, some of them will say, "Do you have a word from the Lord for me?" Yes, I have a word from the Lord for you. Quit listening to the devil. Let's say what God says. You see, words transmit. It'll transmit fear or transmit faith. Now let's take this scripture here in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. If faith, then, is the substance of things hoped for, that means the things I desire. Then faith is the substance of things desired. Now, the opposite of that is that fear is an opposite force of faith. So if faith is the substance of things desired, fear, then, is the substance of things not desired. And the thing that you greatly fear will come upon you, because fear is a spiritual force and it is the substance of things not desired. And Job proved that to be true. He said, "The thing I've greatly feared has come upon me. The thing I was afraid of has come unto me." So resist fear like you would resist the devil.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. Now, before we leave the broadcast, our offer this week is offer number 7502. It's book offer number 7502. It's called The Tongue, Creative Force. This book is the first book I authored in 1976. It deals with the power of words. And actually, you know, the tongue, creative force, God created the universe with a spoken word. The Word of God, received in the heart and formed with the tongue, spoken out of the mouth, becomes powerful to arrange and change situations. So the first chapter in this book is called Words. Then we have a chapter that's called Establishing the Word of God. You know, God's Word is forever settled in heaven, but what are you going to say about it here on earth? Are you going to establish God's Word here on earth? You know, the Word says, whatever you do will prosper, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But what are you going to say about it? So many times people say, well, you know what, everything I do just doesn't work out. The devil just throws a monkey wrench in the deal. Well, Jesus said you could have what you say, and you're saying what you have. And if you keep saying what you have, you'll have what you say. One chapter is called Watch Your Words. You know, you have to set a watch on your mouth. Don't speak things that are contrary to the Word of God, because it causes fear to come. If you speak God's Word, it causes faith to come. One chapter is called God's Word is Truth. Did you know that God's Word is truth? It does not just contain truth. It is the truth. And if you'll learn to operate in the Word of God and speak in line with the Word of God, you get the angels involved in your situation. Now, this book will help you understand how to speak and talk and not get yourself in trouble, you know. If you find yourself in the hole, first thing, do quit digging. And some people are digging their hole and about to bury them in their own problems. That's offer number 7502. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. That's for $7 plus $3 postage and handling. That's 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now let's take a look at this. We're talking about the power of words and faith. We're in Hebrews 11th chapter. Let's read down three verses here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. In other words, we understand it was through faith the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God framed the worlds. There was not anything made that was made without words. word, the words of God was creative power. Now, He hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the exceeding great and precious promises. Now, the promises of God is the Word of God. That is the Word of God, isn't it? In fact, just turn over there to... let's read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to underline this in your Bible. It's important that you see this. Sometimes I think people think my Bible reads different from theirs. According as His divine power hath given unto us, notice He hath given, not going to, He's already done it, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. When you gain the knowledge of God, you gain some faith of God. How do you gain that knowledge? Through His Word. By hearing His Word. Whereby are by this means are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Notice it said ye might be. It didn't say that you would be, but you might be. In other words, the decision's up to you. You can be a partaker of the divine nature. How? Through the exceeding great and precious promises, by believing the Word of God. Now, these things God has already given, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, you don't lust and seek after things. You seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. But what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? If I were to tell you I'm going to seek my Bible, what would you think I was going to do? Would you think I was going up in heaven? Now, see, we got the idea when Jesus said, seek the kingdom, that we was seeking something up in heaven. But Jesus said in Luke the 17th chapter, verse 21, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's the kingdom that He asked you to seek. That kingdom that is in you, find out everything you can about the kingdom of God that is residing on the inside of you. Now, see, we found out some about it in one of the other sessions. Jesus said, pray that the kingdom of God come, the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, when the kingdom has come, it is possible for the will of God to be done in earth the same as it is in heaven. It's possible for that to happen. It wasn't possible for that to happen until the kingdom came. Now, I know that it's not that way. But you see, this kingdom of God that resides in you is no less powerful, no less capable of supplying every single human need that you have than the kingdom that will be set up in the New Jerusalem. It is part of the same kingdom. It's just a different manifestation of the kingdom. It is a spiritual manifestation of the kingdom of God, and it resides in the heart of every believer. That kingdom is no less powerful. It is capable of supplying every need. Now, if God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then someone says, why don't I have them? Faith is the substance of them. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. It's a raw material. Faith is the ability to conceive the Word of God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. That means things desired. What about hope? Hope is a goal setter. Hope has no ability to cause manifestation of the promise. But without hope, you'd give up. You must have hope. Let me give you an illustration. It's one of the best illustrations I've come up with that help you understand hope and faith. You see that box on that wall over there? That's called a thermostat. That thermostat is connected to the heart of a unit outside this building that is a central unit that produces the weather in this building. Either hot or cold. Whatever you need, it'll produce it. It has the ability. It was designed by the fellow that engineered that thing to control the temperature of this building. Now that unit out there, it may be on the roof or outside, it will not cook your food. It will not iron your clothes. It will not answer the telephone. It wasn't designed for that. It's designed for one reason, That is to control the weather inside this building. It was designed to do that. It knows how to do it. You don't have to fast and pray that it'll work. I mean, generally speaking, you know. But now you see, there's a goal setter on the wall. That thermostat is not the unit. It is a goal setter. Hope is a goal setter. See, hope is up here in the natural realm. Hope is a goal setter. But it has no power to cause the manifestation. In other words, you see some people do some things sometimes. There's always people that misunderstand the faith message. They go out and do squirrely things, and then the people think that's the way we taught it. There's always someone wanting to build a third story on a vacant lot. You can't do that. You have to start with the first story. You've got people trying to operate faith out of the head. With the heart man believeth, Paul says. You believe with the heart. You can't believe with your head the things you can believe with your heart. Now, that goal setter over there has some wires that is linked to the unit, the heart of the unit. Now, let's say that goal setter is up here, you see. It's the brain. And the spirit it's connected to the spirit. Because Paul said that the righteousness which is of faith says the word is nigh thee, it's in your mouth and in your heart. You first get it in your mouth, then it gets in your heart. That's the way you get the Word of God in you. You speak it there. It won't get there nearly as quick if you just hear somebody else say it, but when you go to saying it. That's why a confession of God's Word is so important. Because you'll believe more quickly what you say than what anyone else says. And you see, the words you speak create images inside you, in the spirit man. In the heart, what the Bible calls the heart. You change the heart with your words. You speak it. The woman with the issue of blood. See, she spent all she had, was nothing better, rather grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, what do you reckon she heard about Jesus? That he had authority over sickness and disease and he is healing folks. And she started saying, when I touch his clothes, I'll be restored to health. She had a grow worse image. I know she did. She testified of it. That's how they knew she had that she had spent all she had was nothing better, but rather grew worse. If you tried everything you could for 12 years and got worse, you'd have a grow worse image too. But she changed it with her words. She said, when I touch his clothes, I'll be restored to health. Right. See, she dialed healing into the goal setter. She got it dialed in there. And when she got there and touched the hem of his garment, she was restored to health. Now somebody said, yeah, but you see, Jesus healed her. No, he didn't. No, Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. He didn't even know she's there. Now the power flowed out of him. But you see, it was her faith that drew the power out of Jesus. It was her faith that caused it to flow. You know, it's like a wire. You could have an electric wire hanging down out of that light up there. And you could get on a rubber pad and grab that wire and say, there's no power here. And you reach over and ground yourself and your eyeballs may light up. See, faith grounds you. And she established a point of contact. And when she touched the hem of his garment, the power flowed into her. She changed the image with her words. And that power force, that power charge that was in Jesus went into her and it healed her. Caused her to be well. For 12 years she had not been well. Then Jesus turned and said, who touched me? And they said, well, the multitude throngs thee. And you saying, who touched me? Well, there's probably thousands of people touched Jesus. There's always somebody in that crowd, I'm sure, that just reach up there and touch Jesus to see if any sparks would fly. But there was no faith in it. No power flowed, see? Because there was no faith there. There was not that spiritual force to draw that power out of him. So they received nothing. But Jesus turned around and looking around saw her. And then she came and told him all the truth. See, it was not the fact that Jesus healed her by an act of his will. He didn't even know she's there. He said to the woman, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." It was her faith that caused the power to flow out of Jesus and changed her physical circumstance, and she was totally healed by the power of God. And it was her faith that caused it to happen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. I do appreciate you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. I trust you've been blessed by the broadcast. Now, our offer this week is book offer number 7502. 7502. It's called The Tongue, A Creative Force. 160-page paperback that deals with the power of words. It deals with the power of the spoken word and how it can change your life for the better or it can change your life for the worse, depending on how you use words. Now, this offer is, again, is offer 7502, The Tongue Creative Force, for $7 plus $3 postage and handling. And I know this book will be a blessing to you. The first chapter is entitled Words. God's Word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue, spoken out of your own mouth, becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. Now, so many people don't understand that when you speak God's Word after Him, it has power in it. And you release the ability of God, you release the angels when you begin to proclaim what God said. I don't have time to preach it here, I'd like to, but these are some of the chapter titles. First chapter is entitled Words. It talks about words and how that we use words wrongly sometimes and get us in a heap of trouble. In other words, the laws that govern electricity. If you violate those laws, it may kill you. Now, it'll cook your food. It'll be a blessing to you if you deal with it properly. But if you violate the laws of electricity, it may kill you. And words spoken, if we just let our mouth talk all kinds of talk, it can do you in. That's offer number 7502, 160-page paperback, entitled The Tongue, A Creative Force. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. Glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now listen to this. Out of the 18 cases where Jesus had healed, a miracle of healing, are a great mighty manifestation of God's power. Out of 12 of those, Jesus said, thy faith has done it. Is their faith. The spiritual force that was inside them was able to draw the power of God out of him. But he said it was their faith that did it. Now, we're talking about words and the power of words and faith. Now, you thought I'd forgot about it, but we're talking about this thermostat over here on the wall. I got no side trip there, but that'll help you. See, hope is a goal setter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, that thermostat has no power to control the temperature in this building unless it's hooked to the heart of the unit. Now, if you were to go out here in the boonies and drag a guy into service that had never seen electricity, he doesn't know anything about, you know, the air conditioning, And you were sitting back there on the back seat and turn that thermostat and it started getting cool in here. He's going to start looking at that thing. After a while, he's going to want to know, what is that thing? He said, well, that's a thermostat. Where do you get one of them? See, now what he's got in his mind, he's going to get one and go nail it on his cabin wall. Boy, that little box is the beatenest thing I ever saw. Cooled this whole building. And that's what a lot of people have done. They thought faith works out of the head. Oh, if I can just muster up some faith, just mental assent. Try to work it out of the head. Faith won't work in the head. It'll give you a headache. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Didn't say not doubt in your head. Let me tell you something. You can doubt in your head and still have faith in your heart. And it'll still work. But you can't have doubt in your heart and faith in your head and get it to work. Faith must be in the heart. You can't keep the devil from putting doubt in your mind. If you won't speak it, it'll die unborn. When you begin to speak doubt, it becomes unbelief. But if you will put it to death, starve it to death. Now the goal setter is up here, the brain. What you say sets the goals of your life. It sets the cornerstones of your life. That's why it's so important to say what God said, regardless of what you face. I mean, say what God said. Now, that box has no ability to heat and cool this building. But yet, without that box, that unit can't heat and cool this building. It has nothing to control it. So when you walk over there and dial 70 degrees in that thermostat, you've created a problem for the heart of that unit sitting outside this building when it's 90 degrees in here. But you don't have to fast and pray. You don't have to pray to God that it'll work. You just go on and mind your own business, and after a while it'll get cool in here. Why? Because that unit was designed to do that. The human spirit, or what the Bible calls the heart, was designed of God to produce, lead you to, cause the wisdom of God to come to you and draw from God's understanding a way to cause the things you say to come to pass. When you speak healing and health, it sends an impulse down to the heart and says, find a way to bring it about. It's in your mouth and then in your heart. You remember Proverbs says, write these things upon the table of your heart. How are you going to write them on your heart? David found out and he said, my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. What you speak goes directly into the heart and becomes the goal, you see. It's set. It's set by the words you speak, by the things you say. A fellow that says, well, you watch and see, I get a good job, I always lose it. He set the cornerstones of his life. He'll do things that'll make him get in strife with his boss, and he doesn't know why he does it. But he planted the seed. He planted the seed. You see, the heart of that unit is designed to produce whatever you dial into it. And when you dial prosperity, health, wisdom, direction of God into the goal setter here by the words you speak, it makes a demand on the kingdom inside you to produce it. And it'll work day and night to find it. Find out a way to do it. Paul said in the first chapter of Corinthians, he says, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. In other words, he said, man's spirit knows all about him, and God's spirit knows all about God. Then if you get those two spirits together, you've contacted the source of all knowledge and wisdom. So we make a demand on that kingdom that is within us. Go with me over to Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, where Jesus explains how the kingdom of God works, the kingdom that is within you. Mark 4, let's look at verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man cast seed into the ground. And he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. And somebody say, well, I don't understand how what I say directs my life so much. Well, you're perfectly scriptural. Jesus said you wouldn't know how. But the things you're saying is the thing that is determining what you will do in the future. Have you ever noticed that you never do anything without saying it first? Well, I'm going to town. Honey, I'm going to the office. I'm going to do this. We're made that way. God always did that. He never did anything without saying it first. He'd tell the devil what he's going to do, then do it. The power of the Word, the spoken Word. Now here Jesus tells you how this kingdom works within you. The kingdom of God's if a man cast a seed into the ground. Now let's stop and find out what seed he's talking about. Back up to the 14th verse when he explains the parable of the sower here. The sower soweth the Word. So there's no doubt what he's talking about, the seed. The Word is the seed. And these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Now notice where you sow the Word. The Word is sown in the hearts of men, or mankind. So what do we have here? The parable of the sower is showing you four different conditions of the same saw. There's the stony saw, there's the thorny saw, there's the wayside saw, and there's the good saw. The saw he's referring to is the heart. Where's the kingdom? In here. Kingdom of God's within you. He says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man cast seed into the ground. Now see, we've missed it. In that we have decided, sometimes we got this idea that, well, these natural things have nothing to do with spiritual things, when it's the opposite. Natural things show you exactly how spiritual things work. The Apostle Paul said that in Romans, the first chapter. He said that the invisible things from him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and the Godhead. That's why Jesus talked about sowing seeds and reaping harvests. Seed time and harvest, and shepherds and sheepfolds. He opened his mouth in parables and spoke things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now here he tells you that the sower sows the Word, he sows it in the heart. Now he's speaking specifically of a man receiving the Word to be saved, but it works in every other area. And then he said, the kingdom of God's if a man cast seed into the ground, he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Now what is the earth? The earth has already been established to be the heart of man. That's what brings forth the fruit. You remember the part of this unit out here that produces, designed to produce what you make a demand on? The kingdom of God within you is designed of God to produce everything that you make a demand on. From the Word of God, scripturally from the Word of God and from the promises of God, if you make a demand on it according to the Scripture, the power is within the kingdom to cause the manifestation of that. And that's the way the kingdom works. You go to the Word of God, you find the Word seed of the promise. You speak it into the heart. You send an impulse there and says, find a way to get abundance here because I have lack right now. You make a demand on the kingdom of God and the promise of God. And you become a partaker of the divine nature of God, which the spiritual power force within you will bring to you, reveal to you or lead you to, give you the knowledge of how to cause it to come to pass. Can you say amen?
Thank you so much for joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. Now, before we leave the broadcast, our offer this week is offer number 7502. It's book offer number 7502. It's called The Tongue, Creative Force. This book is the first book I authored in 1976. It deals with the power of words. And actually, you know, the tongue, creative force, God created the universe with a spoken word. The word of God, received in the heart and formed with the tongue, spoken out of the mouth, becomes powerful to arrange and change situations. So the first chapter in this book is called Words. Then we have a chapter that's called Establishing the Word of God. You know, God's Word is forever settled in heaven, but what are you going to say about it here on earth? Are you going to establish God's Word here on earth? You know, the Word says, whatever you do will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. But what are you going to say about it? So many times people say, well, you know, everything I do just doesn't work out. The devil just throws a monkey wrench in the deal. Well, Jesus said you could have what you say, and you're saying what you have. And if you keep saying what you have, you'll have what you say. One chapter is called Watch Your Words. You know, you have to set a watch on your mouth. Don't speak things that are contrary to the Word of God, because it causes fear to come. If you speak God's Word, it causes faith to come. One chapter is called God's Word is Truth. Did you know that God's Word is truth? It does not just contain truth. It is the truth. And if you'll learn to operate in the Word of God and speak in line with the Word of God, you get the angels involved in your situation. Now, this book will help you understand how to speak and talk and not get yourself in trouble, you know. If you find yourself in the hole, first thing, do quit digging. And some people are digging their hole and about to bury them in their own problems. That's offer number 7502. We have a toll-free auto line, 1-877-396-9400. That's for $7 plus $3 postage and handling. That's 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now see, we're talking about the power of words. Now let's go back and look just a little bit at what Peter said. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through His exceeding great and precious promise. Now, what is the divine power of God? The divine power of God is His Word. God will do nothing unless He reveal it to His servant, the prophets. God will do nothing unless He speaks it forth in the earth. When God was ready to bring Jesus into this earth, 750 years before it came to pass, He had the prophets saying it. He spoke it. The Word of God is the seed for every miracle you ever have a need of. The parable of the kingdom. What Jesus said about that parable. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all parables? In other words, this is the granddaddy of them all. It tells you how the kingdom works. Now let me just make a little circle here. Jesus said, pray, the kingdom of God come, the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom he's talking about was the kingdom that came on the day of Pentecost. It couldn't have been any other kingdom. Because he said in Mark the 9th chapter, verse 1, he said, there's some of you standing here that will not taste death till you see the kingdom of God come with power. It had to be talking about the kingdom that came on the day of Pentecost. So you see, that kingdom, he says, is capable of causing it to be on earth as it is in heaven. That doesn't mean that everything on earth is going to be like it is in heaven until, you know, the earth lease runs out and God puts Satan in his place. But you see, as far as you're concerned, the kingdom within you is capable of supplying everything you have need of. Now, don't get the idea that I'm saying that we're sufficient within ourselves. You know, there's always somebody that's trying to catch you in your speech and accuse you of something. The only reason that that kingdom will supply everything you have need of is because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is in there. They're in there. Jesus said, if you keep my words, we will come and make our abode with you. Brother, I mean wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Keeping the Word of God. Now listen to me. Keeping the Word of God in you makes it fit for the lifestyle of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to abide and tabernacle inside you. Keeping the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now notice, he said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through his divine dunamis power. That's the word dunamis. In the Greek, it's the word we get our word dynamo from. It is self-energizing, self-reproducing power. God's word is filled with faith, which is the divine energy of God. It is the substance of things desired, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the substance that will cause the manifestation of it. It is stored in God's Word, and it is His dunamis power. It's a dynamo. When you speak God's Word, faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing. So when I confess the promise of God, faith comes. And then when it gets in my heart, it gets in my mouth. And when it gets in my mouth, it gets in my heart. And when it gets in my heart, it gets in my mouth. And in my mouth, and in my heart. In my mouth, and in my heart. And it's like a dynamo. It's producing the divine energy capable of causing the manifestation of any promise in the Word of God. Now again, we're not talking about anything else except what God promised. We're not talking about something He didn't want you to have. Now notice here that He has given us this parable of the sower, which he indicates is the greatest of all parables. If you don't understand it, you won't understand any of them because you won't know how the kingdom works. Then he tells you very specifically how it works. It's as if a man casts the seed into the ground. It's not up to God to do it. It's up to you to find the seed you want to plant and plant it. You know, being a farmer, I guess I could understand some of these things maybe a little quicker. Have you ever realized that the soil does not determine the harvest? The seed determines what the harvest is. You know, when I was planting soybeans and rice and so on, I never did dig in the soil. You know, I'd follow the planter. If you ever watch the farmer when they're planting, they'll run behind, I'd run 3 miles a day behind that planter, digging to see if that was planting the right depth. Because, you know, you're getting a little harder ground, it'll ride out a little, won't go quite as deep. So, man, you just spend the whole day running behind that planter making sure it's going the right depth. I never did dig down there, and one of those soybean seeds say to me, or the ground say to me, we're not going to raise soybeans this year. I've decided I'm going to raise cucumbers and bananas. Now, wouldn't it be a mixed-up world if you plant soybean seed and reap wheat, and maybe the next year plant wheat and get bananas? No, everything produces after its kind. See, the seed determines the harvest, not the soil. Now, let me show you something here that most Christians have never understood. The words you speak are seeds you're sowing. The sower soweth the word. Now, the indication is there that you ought to sow the word of God, see. That's the truth of the matter. But another part of it is that you can sow any seed you well please. And God won't do a thing about it. And people say, well, I know I'm saying this, but I'm just telling it like it is. We never have enough. God never blesses me. We give, but we never get a return. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said you can have what you say, and you're saying what you have. And when you say what you have what you say. See, there's no faith in that. Oh, there is. There's faith in the devil. faith is the ability of Satan to steal it from you. See, it may look like that's true, but what are you going to do? Are you going to side in with circumstances or what God said? Now, see, it's important that we understand this. You plant a seed and you're going to reap a harvest. Now, let me show you how foolish that is. When I was farming, I had an 80-acre block that had Johnson grass on it. I guess you know what Johnson grass is. It grows about that high, and you don't have to plant it. Man, it comes up from the roots year after year after year. Well, now, suppose I'd have gone out there and said to my men that was working for me, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to plant that 40 acres over there. They'll say, what are you going to plant? Well, I'm going to plant Johnson grass. See, we had Johnson grass on it last year, and, you know, we just got to say it like it is, so we got to plant it like it is. They'd have said, you're going to what? They'd have called a paddy wagon. They'd haul me off. You mean you're going to plant Johnson grass because it has Johnson grass on it? That's what a lot of Christians are doing. They're saying the thing they have. Jesus said the kingdom of God is if a man casts the seed into the ground. If you don't like the harvest you're reaping, check up on the seed you sow. Saying things that you don't mean. Now, Jesus put it strong. We just haven't had time to get into all the scriptures. But in the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he bringeth forth good things. But the good treasure has to be in there. The good deposit, the Greek says, the good deposit of his heart. What he's deposited in his heart. In other words, what he planted. He'll bring forth good things. How does he do it? The man brings it forth. Well, didn't God have anything to do with it? Certainly he had everything to do with it. He furnished the seed. And he furnished the kingdom that it would grow from. See, the kingdom of God is if a man casts the seed into the ground. It's our responsibility to plant the seed. The soil is the heart of man. That's where the kingdom is. You're sowing it in the kingdom of God. You begin to say, my God has met my need according to his riches in glory. Well, it may be true that you don't have the money for the rent. But you're planting the right seed. And then you give. See, you have to activate that beginning. You have to live this, not just say it. And it's not just the saying it. Here's the thing I want to get over to you also. It's not just saying it that causes it to happen. But yet, saying it is involved in making it happen. Just because a farmer plants a seed does not necessarily mean he'll have a harvest. He has to work around it, dig the weeds out. He has to plow it, fertilize it, and take care of it for a period of time. And if we are to reap the harvest, we have to do that. We have to fertilize it with the Word of God, saying what God said, confessing what God said about it. It's not that we're trying to make God do anything. It's that we're drawing from the source of provision that God has made to enter into the provision. So whatever your need is, go to the Word of God and find the promise. It is impossible to pray the prayer of faith if you don't know what the Word says about it. So find the promise that is the seed for the miracle you need. And then begin to say what the Word said and get it in your heart. Continue to say it. Now, see, here's the phase of it. The first phase is speaking it so it will get in your heart. That takes weeks and months sometimes to do that. It doesn't happen overnight. But then the second stage is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, when you're confessing it to get it in there, it's not changing anything much except you. And causing faith to come. But then when it's abundantly in your heart, then out of the abundance of the heart, the good man brings forth good things. He speaks it and he causes changes in the situation and circumstances. Faith-filled words can change any circumstance. Can you say amen? Thank you so much for joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. I trust you've been with us all this week, and I trust the Word of God has ministered to you. Now, this is the last day for book offer number 7502. It's entitled The Tongue of Creative Force, 160-page paperback for $7 plus $3 postage and handling. Now, this book will change your life. It'll help you get a grip on words and what's causing your problems. You know, so many Christians, their biggest problem is 1 inch below their nose. You know, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about words, about perverse speech. And if we don't
operate in the power of God's Word, then we're going to be over talking defeat, doubt, unbelief. The one chapter in this book, The Tongue, Creative Force, now this book was authored in 1976, and there's over 500,000, in fact, probably around 600,000 of these sold now. And this book will help you understand the power of the words that you speak, because the words you speak either create faith or fear. And when you don't watch your words, you're going to end up being fearful. You'll be taking the wrong thoughts. You remember Jesus said, take no thought by saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we be clothed? That's the way you take thoughts, is by saying. And so many times people take the wrong thoughts and it creates fear. Establishing the Word of God is chapter 4. God's Word is forever settled in heaven, but what are you going to say about it? Are you going to say what God said about you? He said, give and it'll be given unto you, but you're going to say, yeah, but when I gave, my car broke down. Well, that might have been what happened to you, but it wasn't what the Word of God said. Don't believe it, don't talk about it, but proclaim what God's Word says. God's Word's forever settled in heaven. You need to establish it here on earth. If you'll establish God's Word in your life, it will change your life forever. This book will be a blessing to you, and you know about 10 people need to read it. That's offer number 7502, The Tongue Creative Force, for $7 plus $3 postage and handling. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. 1-877-396-9400. Until Monday, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area.